Start. Okay. So Boker Tov, good morning, everybody. We're here at Kehilat Shiftei Yisrael Ranana on Zoom, studying Masechet Shabbat. Today we are studying Gimel Amud Bet. Okay, 3b. And we're starting at the we're gonna start five lines up from the bottom. We'll just deal with Gemara's question and then we'll move on to some extended further topics. Okay. Remember, just a quick summary. We're talking about carrying from one domain to another domain on Shabbat. And the case is in our Mishnah. Have to do with the case where the poor person puts their hand into the house, or the balabai puts their hand outside and they grab something or something's put into their hands. And we're only talking about right now where you move something with your hand. But now we're going to ask a more fundamental question. Bai minei Rav Meirebi. So Rav, who's first generation of Amoraim, asks Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, and Rav is on the borderline between Tanaim, rabbis of the Mishnah era versus rabbis of the Amoraic era, the Talmud era. And so he asks him the following question. Hello, everybody. We're on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph 3a. Bai minei Rav mi Rebbe, hit ino chavero ochalin umashkin, votian lachutz. So let's say I am standing inside the house, and people put things onto my hands. I'm holding my hands out like this, and someone puts a cake into my hands. And then I walk outside to the Reshut HaYachid. So I'm going from the, sorry, I walk outside from the Reshut HaYachid. I'm in the Reshut HaYachid, the private domain. I walk outside to the public domain. Now, am I violating Shabbat? Because essentially what I'm doing is I'm carrying something, but through my body is moving, and that's what's causing the object to be brought outside, the cake to go outside. So we ask, Mao akirat gufo ki akirat chayfetz mim komo dami. If I move my whole body, is that the same thing as picking up an object and bringing it outside? Umechayev, in which case I'm obligated, I'm violating Torah law. Odimolo. Or maybe one is not chayav for doing this because I didn't put the things on my body. I'm just standing here. Someone put something on my shoulder, or something put something down on my arm, and it's called, and then I walk out. So maybe I'm not violating something here. So Amarle. So Rebbe answers him. This is Rebbe Danasi, author of the Mishnah, Chayav. Ve'eno domet liyado. You are chayav, and it's not the same thing as a person's hand. My time, what's the reason that a body is different than a person's hand? Gufo nayach, because a guf is nach. Nach means to be rested. A guf, a body standing in the reshut hayachid, in the private domain, is resting. Yado lo nayach, whereas a hand is not considered to be nayach, is not considered to be resting. So what we're saying here is as follows, according to Rashi, that if I walk out with something on my body, then I'm violating Torah law. However, if the poor person puts their hand into the house, okay, they stick their hand in the house, and something is put into their hands, okay? So that's it, Ani's hand is here in the house. The balabai comes and puts something into his hand, okay? And then the Ani pulls this out. What's that the case of in our Mishnah? That's a case of patur. Why is it a case of patur? The Ani is not, this hand is not considered to be in the Reshut HaYachid. It's not in the private domain. It's considered to be part of the Reshut HaRabim to a degree. But so the person's putting it in my hand. I didn't do the Akira here. I didn't pick this up. This has to be, if I pick this up from the ground, then, and I pull it outside, then that's an akira and then a hanacha. But if someone puts it into my hand and I pull out my hand, the yado lo nayach, your hand is not considered as if it's in the private domain. So when I pull it out, I'm violating a rabbinic law, but not a Torah law. That's the difference between these two things. This is the Shita of Rashi. Tosfot asks a question about this. And Tosfot says, but, you know, and we're not going to get into Tosfot's answer, but Tosfot's question is as follows. So why is an ani, why is a poor person chayav when he picks up something from the Reshut HaYachid and then pulls it outside? Or if I take it from the balabai, let's say it's in the balabai's hands. This is the balabai, the owner of the house. The ani picks it up and takes it out. Well, that's in the guy's hand. So this isn't in the Reshut HaYachid either. So why is the ani chayav for pulling it out of his hand if this is considered lo nayach either? That's Tosfot's question. We're not going to get into his answer now. But you understand the issues here. Good. Let's go to the next. Now we're gonna We're going to sort of switch topics here for a second, because Rabbi Chiya is very upset about this question. He's upset about what happened here. Remember, Rav is asking Rabbi a question. Okay, Rabbi's older. Rav is asking him a question. But then Rabbi Chiya, who's also a student of Rabbi, says, Rav, Bar Pachti, great one. Okay, and Rav was a great Torah scholar. Lo aminu lecha ki ka'ei. Rav b'hai mesach, didn't I tell you? He's defending his Rabbi's honor. Didn't I tell you? When Rebbe is teaching one masechet, one topic, lo teshayle b'masecha achariti, you shouldn't ask him a topic about, you know, from a question about another topic. Got to stay on topic. If he's teaching masechet beitza, masechet Sanhedrin, so you can ask him in those masechet. But you're asking a question about masechet Shabbat, but Rebbe's not teaching masechet Shabbat right now. Why? Dilma lava date. Maybe he won't be focused on this topic. Okay, the ilav. The Rebbe gave a rabbahu. If not for the fact that Rebbe was a great rabbi, kasafte, you might embarrass him. The mishan lecha shenuyah, the lav shenuyahu. He's going to give you an answer to a question that's not a true answer because he's not focused on that topic right now. Okay, hashta miyat shapir mishanin lecha. Now, thank God he answered you the right answer now. Okay, but he may not have, and you shouldn't have put Rebbe put him in this situation by asking him the question to begin with. Tanya, how do we know that Rebbe was right? Hayata'un ochlin. We have a bright which teaches us. Hayata'un ochlin mashkin ibod yom. If you're wearing clothing, you know, wearing food or mashkin or something, someone puts something else into your hand on your body and you walk out. You are chayav if it's already Shabbat. Because it's not like your hand. It's not like your hand where you'd be violating a rabbinic violation. It's a Torah law that you are violating by walking outside, having objects on your body. Good. So this is the first topic. Now we're going to get to a fundamental question that Abaye asks. And he wants to know, what is the status of a person's hand? Okay. Amar Abaye. So pshitali, it's clear to me. Yado shel adam eina lo kirshut harabim velo kirshut hayachid. So let's define a few terms here. First of all, what is a Rashut HaRabim? What is a Rashut HaYachid? A Rashut HaRabim, we know, is a public thoroughfare. It's an area that's at least 16 amot wide, that's not covered, and according to some opinions, at least 600,000 people are walking there on a daily basis. Okay, there aren't, you know, my street, Tel Chai, this is not a Rashut HaRabim according to Torah law. Okay, you know, based on this definition. Now, a Rishut HaYachid, a private domain, is an area that's at least 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, okay? It's 4 of these, okay? So imagine 4, you know, the hand, okay? In 4 by 4, plus something that's at least 10 tfachim high, that has a wall around it, that's 10 tfachim high, or that is on a mound, or that's in a hole, that's 10 tfachim deep, and that's a Rishut HaYachid, a private domain. What about everything else? So the rabbis establish that there's something called a Karmelit. A Karmelit, there's also a fourth thing called a Makom Ptur. A Karmelit is everything that's not a Rashut HaRabim and that's not a Rashut HaYachid. Okay, it's the in-between domain. And this in-between domain, it is rabbinically prohibited to carry from a Karmelit to a Rashut HaYachid or a Karmelit to a Rashut HaRabim. Okay, a person's backyard is a Karmelit. The ocean is a Karmelit. The beach is a Karmelit. Many different, a lake is a Karmelit. These are all things that are Karmelit. They're neither Rashut HaRabim or Rashut HaYachid, but one is not allowed to carry from a Karmelit to either of these domains. So the question is, what is the hand of a person? Okay, and we're going to talk about a very specific case in a second. Okay, does it have the status of Rashut HaYachid or Rashut HaRabim? So we're going to prove that it doesn't have the status of a Rashut HaYachid or a Rashut HaRabim, and now we have to figure out what status it has. How do we know that it's not a Rashut HaRabim or Rashut HaYachid? Now let me tell you the case that we're talking about. We're going to talk about a case where the, okay, let's say I'm the Baal HaBayit, okay, and I'm inside the house, okay, so I'm inside the house, and, you know, I have this card in my hand, and I put my hand outside into the Rashut HaRabim. I'm holding the card outside. Am I allowed to bring my hand, and I do it on Shabbat, I'm not supposed to do that. Am I allowed to bring my hand back inside? Yes or no? It's outside, I took it outside already. Can I bring it back inside? Now, the Gemara is first going to prove that it's not a Rashut HaRabim and not a Rashut HaYachid. How do we know this? Amar Abaye Pshita Li Yado Shel Adam Ein Lo Ki Rashut HaRabim Lo Ki Rashut HaYachid Ki Rashut HaRabim Lo Damya. How do we know that it's not a Rashut HaRabim? Miyado Di Ani. From the situation of the Ani. How do we know this? Because look at Rashi, Kirshud Rabbi Lodam Yom Yado Dani, Dekatani Madnitim, Dechinatal Balabayid Mitocha Patur. So let's say the Ani, a poor person, puts their hand into the Rashut, into the private domain. If the Balabayid takes it, the Balabayid is violating the rabbinic law, okay, of Hanacha, essentially. But he's not violating a Torah law. If this were a Rashut Rabin, right here, my hand, when I put it inside the house, it's Rashut Rabin, and the Balabayid comes and takes it, and puts it into Rashut Yachid, he's violating a Torah law, but we don't say that. And the same thing is true in the opposite case. If the Balabayit, you know, puts his hand out into the Rashut Harabim, is the Balabayit, and the Ani comes and takes it, okay, we don't say that the Ani is taking it from a Rashut Yachid. We don't say such a thing that he's violating a Torah law when he takes it outside. We just say he's violating a rabbinic law. So therefore, it's not a Rashut Harabim, it's not a Rashut Yachid. Okay. Now, Abaye says, so Abaye wants to know something. What is the status of a person's hand? Do we say that a person's hand is like a Carmelite? And more specifically, practically, what it means is what's that noise? Okay, I just thought it was an alarm or something. Okay, practically it means if a person sticks their hand out, so the Balabai, you know, sticks his hand out into the Rashut Harabim, okay? He's picked something up, he's put it outside, but he hasn't dropped it yet. He hasn't given it to anybody or put it down. The question is, do we say his hand is like a Carmelite? And now his hand is out there. His hand is out there, and he actually can't move his hand. He has to keep his hand there all of Shabbat. Because if he puts it down, then he's violating if he puts it down, he's violating a Torah law. But if he brings it back, then he's moving something from a Carmelite to a Rishut Achid. Okay, so that's the question. So the rabbis fine the knos, a knas, we know from Israel. A knas is when you get a penalty.
If he does it by mistake, Rabbi, I presume it's not a problem.
So we're talking about a case of shogeg, actually. We are talking about, well, we'll see what case we're talking about. Okay, we're going to have different answers. We're going to have six different answers about whether this it's permitted for him to bring it back or not. Let's just look at Rashi quickly. Baya baye. Hashta de chazinan de lav bat argufa shatinana. Now that we've already learned, we've established that a hand is not the same thing as a person's body. That's what we established from the first question between Rebbe and Rav. Okay. Are the rabbis more stringent to make the hand like a Carmelite? Maybe you need to leave your hand out all day. Because the hand doesn't have the status of the body, maybe it has becomes its own status. Maybe we're treating a hand like a Carmelite, in which case, once you stick your hand out, you can't even bring it back in. You can't bring it back in because it's in a Carmelite, and you can't bring from a Carmelite into a Rashut Yachid or into a Rashut Rabim. Six answers. Tashma. This is the first we're going to bring in a rabbinic source to try to prove this. If your hand was filled with fruit, and you put your hand outside. Tani chada asur lahachzira. One Tana teaches us it's prohibited to bring it back in. V'tani idach mutar lahachzira. One says you're allowed to bring it back in. So we say my lab b'hai kamipalgi. Aren't they arguing about this exact point? The marsavar kikarmeli damia, marsavar lab kikarmeli damia. One says it's like a Carmelite. The hand is like a Carmelite, and then therefore we fine you when you can't bring your hand back in. The other who says that you can bring it back in says it's not like a Carmelite, and it's totally fine. So this is the machloket. This is the machloket. It's a machloket, whether it's your hand is like a Carmelite or not. This is the first answer. And then we say answer number two, lo. The kulei amik a Carmelitam. Yeah, everybody agrees that the hand is like a Carmelite. The lo, so then what are they arguing about? The kan lokasha. Kan lamata me'asara. Kan lamala me'asara. And there's a difference between being above and beneath ten tfachim. Important to understand that the area of a Rashut Harabim is only until 10 tfachim. Okay, above that is considered a Rashut Harabim, what's called a Makom Ptor, which we'll talk about. Okay, and above, if you're, and so for example, if you throw something in Rashut Harabim, beyond above 10 tfachim, you might not be violating a Torah law. Okay, we're going to talk about this issue as we move into Masachet Shabbat. But basically, maybe there's a difference between above 10 tefachim is permitted, okay, whereas the matam yasara is prohibited. Maybe that's the distinction between we're kones you, we give you a fine. The baitema, okay, a third. Now we're gonna have a third answer. Idim lematam yasara, the lav kekarmelitamia. No, both of them are beneath 10 tefachim, and the hand is not like a karmelit v'lo kasha. One source is talking about when this is done before Shabbat. If you put your hand out before Shabbat, and one is if you put your hand out after it's already dark, when Shabbat starts. If you put your hand out before Shabbat, lo kansuha rabbanan, the rabbis don't fine you. Meaning you put your hand out before Shabbat, you're holding something in the public domain. It's not like a karmelit, you could bring it back in. Whereas if you did it on Shabbat, and you put your hand out, holding something, the rabbis fine you, your hand is like a karmelit, you may not bring it back into the house. Okay, so that's the third answer. And now on the third answer, we're going to bring in a discussion about baking on Shabbat. Okay, so what we said right now is that if you do something before Shabbat, you are not fined, whereas if you do something on Shabbat, you will be fined. So we say, adarabah, ibcha mistabra, on the contrary, the opposite makes more sense. Mi ba'od yom. If you put your hand out before the day begins, before Shabbat begins, mi ba'od yom, and you're holding your hand out the whole time, mi ba'od yom. I remember seeing once on a show, Survivor, they had to like stand on like a totem pole for hours on end. And the question, who could stand on that pole longer? Okay, and you know, and that's how you won that particular contest. How long can you keep your hand holding an object out, you know, from outdoor, indoor, you know, throughout Shabbat? That's essentially what this is. So we say, if you do it before Shabbat, lo rabanan. No, it's dafke if you do it before Shabbat. That if you don't drop the object, you won't come to a chiyuv chatat, liknesur rabanan. It's dafke when you do it before Shabbat that you get fined if your hand is still there during Shabbat. Because what's the reason? Whereas if you do it after nightfall, after Shabbat already starts, you stick your hand outside. The shadilei. What happens if I stick my hand out after Shabbat starts? And my hand, I'm going from, this is inside the house, I stick my hand outside to the Rishut HaRabim. But it's still in my hand. What happens if I drop it? No, what's the psak if I drop it? What happens? If I drop it, the shadilei, I'm violating a Torah law. If I drop it. Whereas if I bring it back inside, okay, bring it back inside, then I don't violate the Torah law. So the whole point is that on Shabbat itself, I have the, I don't want to call it an opportunity, there's a possibility that I'm going to violate a Torah law. We don't need to make a knas. We don't need to fine you in that case because the consequence is already very severe. Okay, before Shabbat, if I put this out before Shabbat, it makes sense to fine me so that I don't do that because before Shabbat, if I drop it, I'm not violating a Torah law. I'm not doing a Kiran Hanachah on Shabbat. It's Dafka on Shabbat that you don't need to fine me because the consequences are already very severe. You don't need to punish your kid for doing something wrong if they're going to be bad, if the consequence serves as the punishment. And that's what's happening here. The consequence of violating Shabbat, you don't need a knas to add on top of that. So the Gemara points out, from the fact that we don't say this, from the fact that we don't do what appears to be more logical, that we make the knas for if you only do this on Shabbat itself and dafka not when it's before Shabbat. So from this, we could resolve another question that has always been up for discussion. Okay, what's this other question? So Gemara says, we can now resolve the question of Bibi Bar Abaye. Now, what is the, let's first understand what Rabbi Bar Abaye asks, and then we'll see how it connects to our Gemara. The Bai Rabbi Bar Abaye, Rabbi Bar Abaye asks the following question, Hitzbik pat betanur. Let's say I take a bunch of dough, a chunk of dough, and this is how you make pitot, right? You take a chunk of dough and you stick it to the wall of the oven or to, a fire pan that's on top of a fire. Hitir lodur durta kodim shevel de chiyuf chatat o lo hitir. So I take a chunk of dough, okay, and I stick it onto the wall of the oven. Now, my act of sticking it on the wall, am I baking at that moment? Steve, have I baked something in that moment? Yes or no? Have I baked something? Yes or no? No? I just stuck it on the wall 10 seconds ago. Have I baked yet? Have I violated? of afia? No. What do you need in order for it to bake?
Heat.
Okay. No, there. I put it in the oven, so heat's there. But what else do I need? I need time. I need to give it time to bake. Right? I just stuck it in the oven. It's going to take a few minutes for the dough to bake. So do the rabbis, let's say I violated something and I put the dough onto a hot oven on Shabbat. Do the rabbis now allow me to take it off? If they allow me to take it off, they're allowing me to not violate a Torah law. That I've already done something wrong, but I could prevent it from getting much worse by taking it off. Okay. Now you see how there's a parallel, how it's parallel to our question.
Excuse me, Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi? No, I mean, like, if they're going to take it off, I mean, like, it's also a malacha. It's doing the same thing. It's like turning on the light and then turning it off. I mean, like, you know, the
Torah. No, but this is a malacha that takes time. It takes time for it to bake. Right? Okay. If I leave it there for 10 minutes, it's going to turn into bread. And then I violated, you know, afiyah on Shabbat. Then I violated bishul on Shabbat. But the whole point is that I could take it off right now, and then I don't violate anything. Do the rabbis allow you to do that? Or do they find you and say, you know, once you put it on in the oven wall, you violated Shabbat, and you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And we don't allow you to take it off the wall. That's the question. Now, it's important to understand Ridiyat HaPat is not exactly a melachan Shabbat. But, you know, look at Rashi. He's big pat betanur. So first of all, Rashi points out we're talking about a case where he did it accidentally. He big pat betanur b'Shabbat b'shoke. He did it accidentally. Then iskashu Shabbat kodem shetafe. Then you remember, oh my God, it's Shabbat. I forgot I can't put dough onto a hot oven on Shabbat. The kaimalan the rediyat apat shvuti shehi chokma v'ena melacha. Putting the bread onto the oven is not cooking yet. It's called rediyat apat. It's called a chokhmah. It's not a melacha. It's a violation of a rabbinic prohibition of putting something on a dough onto a hot, you know, surface. But until it bakes, I haven't violated the melacha of bishul. The question is, are the rabbis going to let me take it off to help me so that I don't need to violate, you know, a more problematic Easter? Now, so the point is, we're saying, wait a second. We don't have an answer to Rav Bibi Bar Abaye's question about whether you're allowed to take it off once you put the dough onto the hot oven on Shabbat by accident. Wait a second. Maybe we learn from our case. What did we just pass in? What did we just say in our case? In our case, we said that the opposite is more logical. It makes sense to impose a fine when you do this dafka before Shabbat, on Shabbat itself. You don't need to impose a fine. Why? Because you're already violating an isur. So the Gemara says, from the fact that we don't say this, from the fact that we make the knas on Shabbat itself, we fine you on Shabbat itself, mashma, we learn from here that even though you're already, there's a consequence of violating a Torah law, okay, even then we still give you the knas. So tifshot lohi tiru. So we could resolve Rav Bibi's question from here that you are not allowed to take the dough off of the hot pan from our case, from the fact that even if you're violating a Torah law, we still give you the knas. If you do a misha hashecha, we still give you the knas, even though there's you're already violating a even though you have a greater consequence there, because we said misha hashecha di shadile atile de chiyuv chatad lo bekmesu rabbanan, because if you have the possibility of violating a Torah law, therefore we're not going to make the knas. And the answer is no, we still have the knas in that situation. Okay. So the Gemara says no. Yeah. Sure.
His name, according to Steinsatz, is Bevai. Bibi is a modern invention.
Beseder. Okay. So Bevai, okay, Nachon, Bibi is not in the Talmud, that's for sure. Bibi is a lot of things, but he's not in the Talmud. That's for sure. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Halo Kasha, v'tifshot. So the Gemara ultimately comes to the conclusion and says, you know, no, don't, you know, don't use this to, you know, this is not a tough issue, v'tifshot, and you can resolve the question about Rav Bibi, Bar Abaye. It's not clear to me, to be honest, what the Gemara is doing right here, whether it's saying that it is permitted to take it off the wall or not permitted to take it off the wall, but we'll leave this line as it is. Good. Now let's go back to remember, we have six answers to the question of whether your hand is like a karma lead or not. So let's just keep going. Or if you want to say, no, don't try to resolve this question of Rav Beibai. Okay. No, maybe there's a difference between shogeg and mezid. If you stuck your hand out accidentally to Rabim, bishogeg, then we allow you to pull it back in. But mezid, bishogeg lo kansuhu. If it's bishogeg, the rabbis haven't fined you. Lo kansu rabanan, mezid kansu rabanan. Whereas if it's mezid, it was unintentionally, the rabbis then fine you. Vibaitema, another answer. Idi bishogeg. No, both cases are talking about shogeg. Meaning, we're talking about, we had two sources, one which said you could pull your hand back in, one which said you can't. We're saying both of them are talking about where you accidentally stuck your hand outside, holding on to a piece of cake. Now we have a debate. Do we prohibit you to bring your hand back in, even in the case of shogig, because of a case where a person did it the mezid? Do we want to have, you know, make basically have no distinctions, no plug? But if you did something intentionally, you're going to be fined accidentally, just like you are intentionally, or not, then that's the machloket. More savar kan, so shogeg got to mezid. Some say we find you in a case of accidental action, just like because of mezid. More savar lo kan su shogeg got to mezid. And now for the final answer, vibayitem al olam lo kan su. No, and maybe you want to say lo kan su, lo kasha. Maybe there's no fine, and maybe there's no, we'll pick this up tomorrow, this answer, lo kasha. Kan lo tachatzer, kan lachatzer acheret. And maybe the difference is between two different domains. So if you bring it back into the same domain that you pulled it out from, that would be Rashi on the next page. Okay, so if you're bringing it back to the where you put your hand out, you can bring it back inside. But you can't bring it into a different chatzer. Okay, so that seems to be that's the sixth distinction here. So just to quickly summarize, we had a number of different ways of resolving this question. Is your hand like a karmelit or not? Did the rabbis fine you? So that once you stick your hand out, maybe it's like a karmelit, and therefore you can't bring it back in. And there's a machloket and six different ways of understanding that machloket. Okay, we're going to stop here. Wishing everybody a great day. Kol tuv. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we will, Bezrat Hashem, see you tomorrow with Dalid Amud Aleph.